This is VLX number 24, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, the Sermon on the Mount, part 1. Hello, my name is Father David Nix, and VLX stands for Video Lectio Divina, your YouTube version of Ignatian Mental Prayer and St. Bruno's Lectio Divina. That means divine reading, reading the Bible, not just through the eyes of the saints, but with the heart of the saints so that you can pray like them. I got a few public service thingies for you before the opening prayer. The first thing is this. What I'm going to start putting in the description, both on YouTube and the Apple Podcasts, is something called timestamp. I'm just going to put TS. You're going to see something like TS 8:34. That would mean timestamp 8 minutes 34 seconds. And what that's going to mean for VLX is that's when I switch to the imaginative way of prayer. That's when I switch to the way of prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. I think by this point, some of you are really liking the method of St. Bruno, and other people are liking the method of St. Ignatius. But I've also got some feedback. People want to give this to their kids. They want to do it for their kids. The kids aren't going to like the real advanced stuff from Lapide in the first half. So if you look at the description on YouTube and you say TS 834, or if you look at the description on my blog or Apple Podcasts and it says TS 834, and you want your kids to try to meditate on, for example, a little preview today, you're going to be with 12-year-old Jesus and Joseph in the woodshop. If you don't want them to hear the advanced stuff for St. Bruno in the first half that sets up the apophatic way, if you just want to go straight to the imaginative way, which is going to become shorter and shorter, not because I want to make it less intense for the people who like the way of St. Ignatius, it's just as you're getting better at it, there's less to say because you're going to be able to picture the face of our Lord however he reveals himself to you. So even if it's only 2 minutes in the second half of it and 8 minutes in the first half, half in quotes there, timestamp is going to be what to look for if you want to skip the way of St. Bruno and go straight to the way of St. Ignatius of Loyola or St. Teresa of Avila. Thank you again to all the donors, both old and new, both material and spiritual. I want to mention also, I'm not monetizing this channel. As soon as you hit, I think it was 40,000 views, which we had like first week thanks to you, I was able to monetize it. I'm not going to do that because of the immodest ads that I see. So you might look at my thing and it looks less professional because there's not ads, but I'm allowed to add advertisements if I want. I'm just going to refrain from that because you guys are being generous on the donation, so I don't have to do that. Another announcement I want to give you guys. This is Soul of the Apostolate. This was the bedside reading of Pope St. Pius X, and it's all about why the entire measure of your success in life is how well you do in mental prayer, or really just how much time you give mental prayer. And so this is just story after story after story of priest, nun, and I think some lay people too, that the entire measure of how many people you reach for Christ is how deep you go into mental prayer. Also, if you missed one or several VLXs, don't give up on the series. This is VLX 24, but if you listen to VLX 23, that's going to be enough. If you're just jumping in, VLX 23, it's a little bit long if you listen to the last one, but it's a full recap of how to do all this. So maybe you don't feel like you can catch up and you're just jumping in. Listen to VLX 23 sometime today, and you should be ready to go. And just to repeat one of those announcements, timestamp, if you look and you see in the description on YouTube, TS 1140, or on the podcast TS 1140, that's how you know when to bring your kids to the imaginative way of prayer, which might only be 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, but it should be enough to bring to your kids for them to pray. And yourself, there's nothing juvenile about the way of St. Ignatius of Loyola or St. Teresa of Avila. People's brains are just functioning in different ways. And, you know, I think people have asked me in the past, well, I know they have in real life. I've never seen this in the comments on YouTube. People have asked me, Father Nix, how do you pray? I used to be really good at the way of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and now my brain doesn't work that way. I have to kind of go for the way of St. Bruno. I wish my mind still worked according to the way of St. Teresa of Avila, but right now it just seems to work according to the way of St. Bruno. So you have these different periods in your life, and that's totally okay. You might find halfway through this series you want to shift gears, and that's why I'd encourage you to listen to the entire podcast, listen to the entire video if you're doing it on YouTube, because you may want to switch along the way. And the first half is a good Bible study, I think. So even if you're not entering into the prayer, which I encourage you to, I hope you get a lot out of this Bible study, because I'm just giving you Lapide, who's just regurgitating to you the Church Fathers. So this is essentially, I think, the most patristic Bible study you're going to find on YouTube. Let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Lord, we ask the grace that all of our intentions, actions, and operations be directed purely to the service and praise of your divine majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. And now we'll jump into the analysis of this. St. Bruno suggests that we start with careful study. Let's look at Christ's words, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The greatest scriptural scholar, at least who conglomerated all the fathers most comprehensively, is without a doubt the great Jesuit Father Cornelius a Lapide, and he wrote his book around 1600. Now, when you read that line that I just give you, which I might suggest those doing the way of St. Bruno enter into, you don't have to do that one today, but it's going to be the one that I give you a little meditation on. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, that line might confuse you a little bit, and sometimes it's best to meditate on that which confuses us, especially if we have an answer from the Church Fathers, which we do today. Do you ever wonder how that line that I just gave you, let your light shine before others, how does that gel with what our Lord Jesus Christ says one chapter later? When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. So which one is it? Are we to refrain from people seeing it so that we are praised by others, or do we want to let our light be shining before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven? Well, a lot of times we moderns think we're the first to come up with these contradictions or seeming contradictions of our Lord's words. But if we look at the Church Fathers, we're going to see that they knew the Bible a lot better than us, and because they prayed through it instead of just stayed in their mind, they came up with answers from God himself. So Lapide and Pope St. Gregory the Great, they both say this on page 237 of Lapide, quote, "Christ admonishes his apostles here and all their successors that they should strive both by word and by virtuous example to shine for others, not for themselves, but for God. That is, not for their own, but for God's glory and the salvation of souls, so that good work may be done in public. But in private, the intention might be to please God alone." End quote. So in other words, the patristic answer to take to prayer, if you want to look at verse 16 for your way of St. Bruno, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven, is this. If you were the only person in the world and no one would judge you or give you accolades, would you do that action before God alone? Or let me give you an example. If everyone around you was blind and deaf when you were going to give your only meal that one day to a single mom who lives in the same apartment complex as you, and not even she would know it, would you still go do that to glorify God? If the answer is yes, do it according to the Fathers from that line I just gave you from Lapide, even if others will see it. And that is what they will do, glorify God, if they see it. And that's okay, because as Pope St. Gregory the Great just said, it can't be primarily for man's glory that you do it. It has to be first for God's glory, God alone, God in the silence of your life when you choose these actions. And if others see it, you should be so detached from their criticism or accolades that it doesn't matter and you do it anyway. That's how the fathers gel these two lines, the one from Matthew 5 to essentially let your works be seen, and Matthew 6, which seems to say, don't let your works be seen. And so that's why Jesus says, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. But again, in that same sermon, it says, let your light shine before others. Because as Pope St. Gregory the Great says, quote, a good work may be done in public, but in private, you should find the intention to please God alone, close quote. So he's not exactly saying this, but I'm going to summarize what Pope St. Gregory the Great just said. In your heart, you should not wish to be seen, but no problem if you are, because people will glorify God anyway in that case. So bring that to prayer. And, you know, if I can add a little bit of my own thought on this, nowadays, when Christians look so weird, especially in 2020, as we oppose these riots and fires that people are setting and everything else, we might wonder if we, by looking different and acting different, are people just going to say that we're holy rollers and do-gooders and dismiss Christ along with kind of a real milquetoast Christianity? Should we still act different by letting our works be seen, by being extra kind when everyone has masks on and is mean, by going out of our way to love our enemies? Should we still do that even if we become self-conscious? I think the answer is yes, because when we look at those two seemingly contradictory lines of Matthew 5 and 6 there, Jesus was primarily warning in a very religious-centered society, first century Judaism, he was warning against doing anything with a lack of purity of heart. In other words, for any reason besides God. But in this pagan world where we live, there's really no brownie points for getting on your knees, say, in front of an abortion center, or telling someone in a subway that Jesus loves you. So I think you can take it to prayer that Jesus is literally telling you, especially in these pagan times, that your intention in any society of persecution will automatically be purified, or at least there's a 99% chance of that. So go ahead and let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I think that's the one I would meditate on if I were going to jump into the way of St. Bruno today. So let's give a timestamp right here since we're switching to the way of St. Ignatius, or the imaginative way the kids are going to be pretty good at. So perhaps a preteen Jesus would be a great thing to picture today. Maybe our first day that we're really trying to include kids, but again, adults are very, very good at this way. Many saints were good at this way. So I'm going to have you meditate today on a 12-year-old Jesus in the woodshop with Joseph, taking a break with the Psalms. Now you might be wondering, why while we're looking at the Beatitudes would we go back to meditate on the 12-year-old Jesus in the woodshop with Joseph? The answer is because today I really want you to see how Jewish Jesus was as a boy, how Jewish Jesus was in his family, how Jewish Joseph was in the fact that they fulfilled this religion perfectly, and that it was, at the time, God's chosen religion, the most perfect religion on the planet. Jesus said today in the Beatitudes, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So I thought that since we have a couple days on the Sermon on the Mount, a couple days when we can picture Jesus fully grown, giving the Beatitudes, this would be a good time to rewind, go back in time, and picture Christ fulfilling that very law as a 12-year-old boy in the woodshop with Joseph. Okay, so what does it look like? Imagine this light-filled woodshop in Israel, and Joseph is excellent at everything he does. He's got good tools. It smells in there more of cedar trees than sweat, but both have been working hard. Perhaps they're dressed like they would be in the movies. Maybe that's one thing the movies actually get right, how Jews would have dressed 2,000 years ago. So I want you to picture in this woodshop with this light streaming in and the smell of cedar wood chips, I want you to picture this 12-year-old Jesus, those dark olive eyes kept in such humble containment lest he burn everyone with the fire of love too quickly. But already at 12, he's so strong, yet so careful and tender like Joseph is. So as you are in this wood shop with Joseph and Jesus, I want you to picture them pausing their work. Maybe this is where you come into the imaginative way of prayer. Picture yourself in this woodshop and they've just paused and you're going to join them in prayer. So what you're going to do is pray a psalm. What I'd like you to do is pause this video or this podcast and think of your favorite psalm. Find it in the Bible. Okay, now that you have it, what you're going to do is pray that with Jesus and Joseph. So you're going to pray a verse, and then those two are going to pray a verse, and then you're going to pray a verse, and then those two are going to pray a verse. Lapidus says this on the history of Jesus, that, quote, he abstained from pork and strictly observed the other sanctions of the law. By his body, his acts, he fulfilled the ceremonial laws, which were figures of the shadows of Christ. He performed and suffered what was prefigured in the ceremonies of the old law, end quote. So what does that have to do with today? They're not eating pork in the woodshop. They're not refusing to eat pork in the woodshop. No, what I want you to picture is really how Jesus fulfilled all the law. And that's why we're using the meditative way on this very line, that he fulfills the law entirely. So really, Jesus was a Jew. Pick a psalm in this wood shop with Joseph there. Literally pick your favorite psalm and start your 15 minutes of prayer with it. And picture saying it not just with Jesus and Joseph, but actually quietly saying it to Jesus, since Jesus is God, so that you're actually worshiping him. Go slow through that psalm, and then for maybe the remaining 10 minutes after you close that psalm, just be in the silence of that woodshop with Jesus and Joseph, silently thanking them that you can be there with them. Et benedictio de omnipotentis patris et filii et spiritus sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.